Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation, is Mr. Know-It-All.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the global community of South Cars and the Thursday night thematic open forum for Thursday, December 3rd, 2009, after a long, extremely long, excruciatingly, painfully long two-week vacation. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving last weekend. Everybody stuffed themselves with bird and potatoes, and mostly gave thanks for all the wonderful things that surround us on a daily basis. My name is Pete, Victor Echo 2, X-ray Papa Lima, and I'm in Montreal, Canada. Like I said, this is the South Cars TNT. It's a directed public service open forum whose aim is to share the collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things. We promise to entertain, to inform, and to have fun. This Thursday night thematic open forum is made available by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network. Like I said before, and I'm going to repeat it for the sake of the recording because, once again, I only just hit record. Your net control for this evening is Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. My name is Pete, and I'm in beautiful Montreal, Canada. Presently, the weather is unseasonably warm. We're looking at 6 degrees Celsius, about 43 Fahrenheit. It's been pretty cloudy and rainy all day. They're calling for some more clouds and a mix of snow and rain tomorrow. However, sunny for Saturday and Sunday with more seasonable temperatures of around 34 Fahrenheit or 2 or 3 degrees Celsius. Just in time for the Santa Claus parade. Montreal had its big Santa Claus parade last or 2 weekends ago. That's the big downtown one that attracts millions of people. We are going to our local Santa Claus parade, which is put on by our three of the neighboring boroughs, and it's a nice little family-oriented parade. They have a hot dog and picnic lunch at the village square, more like the town square, I guess, because I don't exactly live in a village. But looking forward to that. The kids are looking forward to. All right, before I talk too much, let me ask at this time if there's any emergency traffic or anyone needing to contact the station and move off the server for their QSO. Okay, I guess that's a long enough pause for emergency traffic, and we're batting 1,000 on that. That's good. I haven't had any yet. New or semi-new to the South Cars TNT is the... actually, this isn't new at all. This is old news. However, it sounds more exciting when I go new tonight. Podcasts available at www.voip.southcars.com. Look for the South Cars VoIP podcast link on the left of the page. We record these things and we put them at your disposal. So tell your family, tell your friends. If you guys can't make it for the Thursday night thematic open forum, you can get it online. It's your convenience. Paul N4FTD is the nice gentleman who is kind enough to record these, and I always record for a backup, although my recordings are always missing the first 2 minutes of the show. And Paul is nice enough also to do the audio editing and transferring to podcasts, puts it online for you guys to visit and view and listen, not view, I guess, listen at any time. So the usual disclaimer, the opinions expressed herein are those of the commentator and do not necessarily represent those of South Cars. This week we're going to be doing the infamous open forum where we have a panel of guests who'll be discussing a number of items in a roundtable fashion. Of course, the audience is more than welcome to join us, to chime in, and give us their opinions as well, and is encouraged to do so. A few quick announcements. We're looking for co-producers for the show, either on a regular basis or if you just want to try it as a one-time thing. You can be responsible for every aspect of one show, planning, airing, finding guests if you wish, or just finding your own topic of discussion and just bringing us some news. That would be great. It'd be nice to have a nice array of people commentating on this show. So send us an email, voip@southcars.com. And any input, suggestions for topics of discussion, ideas, Tell me you love me. Tell me you hate me. Send us some emails. We'd be glad. And we'll even read your emails on the air. So maybe that's a little bit more incentive there. You guys can have your 15 seconds of fame on the open forum. All right, get these papers out of the way. Before we get going officially and I introduce the panel, a bunch of you have kindly asked about my daughter. Seems that I work in a hospital, as many of you know. It seems that lately I've been spending a lot of my spare time in the hospital. My lovely better half, Sharon, was in the hospital last week with kidney stones and has emerged unscathed. So she is doing much, much better. And I thank everybody who asked via voice, email, through other people. Sharon, thanks you guys as well. She's most comfortable now and everything is well. And last night at a Girl Guides meeting, my daughter, Isabel, my oldest daughter, my 8 years old, fell off of a bench. Which she was standing on and was certainly not supposed to be doing that, but fell off a bench and the bench tipped over. It's just one of those little gym benches that you see in your local gymnasium. Fell over and broke two of her fingernails off. It didn't break fingers, but she required some stitches and probably will lose the fingernails. So she's on antibiotics and is sleeping soundly now, but is also doing well. So I was in the hospital last night until about 10 or 11. Mommy stayed there after that and got the stitching all done, and they only got home at about 2 in the morning. So they woke me up when they got home, and she showed proudly displayed her bandaged hand. So I thank everyone for asking. Isabel, she's a tough girl. The doctor asked her if she wanted any painkillers when she was there. They were going to give her some ibuprofen, I guess. And she said, no, I'm okay. I don't need it. So, and she's been a good sport about it, I must admit. Good sport indeed. So with that, let's get the ball rolling. Enough of me talking. Let's introduce the panel. We have our regular panel tonight. We have Mr. Gordon KY6V joining us once again. We have Jack K4, J-A-K, Mike, K-B-8, Z-G-L, and Rat, W-8-R-A-T, John, will be joining us as soon as he can. John had some business to attend to and will be hopping in as soon as he can. So I'd like to just extend a warm, warm hand of applause for our esteemed guest. And I see Tony. Tony's just joined us. UK3JED, the second week in a row. My God, I feel honored and privileged. Australia is now represented, so thanks for putting Australia on the map. We have a couple of continents on the map today, so I'm glad to see that. Russia's on the map, Canada and the United States, of course, so welcome everyone. Welcome indeed. So let's have a quick round. A really quick round of introductions from our panel since we haven't heard from anyone in 2 weeks. We'll start with Gordon, KY6V. Come on aboard and say hi to the nice people.
Hi, Pete. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us here tonight, Pete. 66 degrees. Currently, we're going down to about 56. I think we can live with that. And we're here at your beck and call, KY6V.
Excellent. A little bit warmer down in Florida than it is right here. Not sure if it's any drier or not, but that's okay. Before I continue, my South Coast number is Echo 0250, and really not required here, but I'm just getting into the habit of saying it because I regularly forget it when I check in the net. With that, we'll move right along to Jack. We'll go by age here today, just for fun. I shouldn't do that. I'm going to get myself in trouble. We'll go with Jack next, K4JK. Come on aboard, Jack. Say hi. All right. Wise words from Jack. Thank you, Jack. I'm just kidding. I guess Jack has stepped away shortly, so we'll move right along to Mike, KB8ZGL. We'll come back and see if Jack's back in a little bit. KB8ZGL, Mike, come on aboard. Say hi.
Well, good evening, Pete. Hello to you. Hello, everybody on the net. Welcome. Hopefully we have a nice net tonight. Looking forward to it. Sounds like fun. Nice idea, Pete. Hopefully you got my questions in an email there, since I didn't put them in front of myself tonight. And boy, Gordon, I'm envious, my friend. 33 degrees Fahrenheit here in mid-Michigan, and snowing on the deck and icy on the roads. So we slid at home from work in time to log into the net and sit down with a 42-page legal document that I have to read tonight. So I appreciate the net for, if nothing else tonight, a short distraction from my daily grind. So looking forward to it. Hello, everyone. Back to you, Pete, V2XPL, KBAZGR.
Yeah, roger that. Well, thank you for being there, Mike. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule and that really, really fascinating reading, legal documents. Yummy. You could maybe that'll help put you to sleep. I don't know, maybe you like legal documents. Some people do, because there are people working in the legal profession and making quite a pretty penny doing so. So some people out there must like it. So you enjoy that when the time comes around. But in the meantime, we'll keep you as occupied for as long as you wish. No problems there. I'll throw out a quick call to John. I don't think John is actually W8RET. I don't see him on the list, so I won't call John, and I'll shout out to a Jet K4JK real quick again and see if he's around. K4JK, come on aboard. All right. He is presently unavailable. I was going to say indisposed, but I don't know what he is. He may be disposed. Who knows? Well, maybe Tony, VK3JED, you're active in the text box. Do you want to jump in? Become a mystery guest on the TNT Open Forum. No pressure if you just want to sit back and listen. That's cool, too. But you're more than welcome to join the roundtable. Tony, VK3JED from V2XPL.
Yeah, good day, Pete, and the rest of the group. Well, I couldn't resist. I made sure I was back Friday mornings. A little bit busy down here. Shopping trips, workout. And I just got back from the gym in time. walked in just as the net was starting. Next time I'll take the radio with me so I can turn on the way home and actually catch the first 90 seconds of the net or 100 seconds or whatever it was. It was pretty much on the line ball. But anyway, down here it's a partly cloudy, slightly cooler day. Currently 17 degrees Celsius, about 64 Fahrenheit for the guys in the States. Had a change go through, so having a cooler spell for the moment. The heat's not on, but it won't be long before it's peaked. Give it a week or two and it'll be back. Anyway, looking forward to whatever the audience throw at us. VU2XBL on the group, VK3JD.
Oh, all right. And as usual, we encourage audience participation, and maybe we'll throw a curveball in there and see if we can get them participating. No matter what, we'll get some involvement tonight. We'll get some involvement. Throw some controversy in there. That's always fun. We'll talk about religion and politics tonight. I'm just kidding. All right, with that, we'll pass it back to, we'll get the ball rolling right away. I've been chatting long enough, as is usually the case. We'll get the ball rolling right away, and we'll go back to the top of the list. KY6V, Gordon, tonight we're doing something a little bit different, by the way. Usually on the open forum, I throw out the questions and topics for discussion, kind of like flashcards, but on the radio, flashcards are hard, so I guess it's the flash voice. Throw out some topics, and everybody gets to chime in and give their 2 cents worth. Tonight I got everyone involved and I asked everybody to come up with some topics. One, because it's easier for me if somebody else does the work, and I got my own 3, of course, and two, it's the people on this panel came up with some topics that I never would have dawned on me, so I'm really, really excited tonight. So let's start with Gordon, KY6Z. Come on aboard and introduce your first subject.
All right. Thank you, Pete. KY6V here. I wasn't sure exactly how you wanted to handle this. I had submitted four subjects per your request. Do you want me to just pick one, or do you want to pick one of the four, sir? Over.
Oh, no, apologies for that. And I'll explain for everybody who's listening. I've been extremely busy at work. I've been working late, and I've made my email communication scarce. And there was little or no explanation to the nice gentleman on the panel tonight. So, no, the idea was for you guys to come up with the subjects and throw them out. Either we could have kept them secret from everyone or shared. It doesn't really matter. You are welcome to pick your topic, choose the one you want, throw it out for discussion, and we'll pick it up from there. Like a game of pick-up hockey. We're playing pick-up open forum tonight. Over to you.
Yeah, I think you guys play more hockey than we do down here. Thanks, Pete, KY6B. Good evening, everybody. Well, I had submitted to Pete four suggestions that he had requested. One was, how does one go about gaining acceptance and support for their hobby from their spouse or significant other half? That's an interesting subject in itself. The second was, what motivates a person to become an amateur radio net control operator? I think that's an interesting subject. The third was, what constitutes a good and friendly QSO conversation on the air? And lastly, I picked, what is South Cars and what does it mean to you? Let me just start with the top. We'll take the one for this evening, and if there's time, maybe we can get into the others. How does one go about gaining acceptance and support for their hobby from their spouse or significant other half? And some of my thoughts on that matter were, first of all, involve your loved one in your hobby. And do so gently and, you know, gracefully. Ease them in gradually. Do not be over technical and certainly not critical. Do things together. That would be, let's go to the ham fest together, or let's go out to the group breakfast together, that type of thing. Very important, I think, also is to ask for their opinion. And, you know, something simple to start with, you've got a new piece of equipment, you want to set it up on your operating desk, you ask your hubby, or your spouse, you say, where do you think this would look the best, on the left side of the desk or the right side of the desk? The main purpose here is that you're getting them involved. So take it slow and easy, and it will happen when you do it correctly. I don't know if you want me to pass it over to Jack or Mike or back to you, Pete, but I'm going to let you set the order. KY6V, over.
Yeah, roger that. No, I like the idea of going one subject at a time. We'll each take our turn on one subject. That way everybody gets at least one turn. And you can just feel free to pass it on. I'm not sure if Jack is back. If Jack's back, I'll let him chime in on his own. We'll go Gordon, Mike, and Tony, and myself. And if Jack's in there, you could chime in also after that. So take it away, Mike, and then you can pass it over to Tony. Over to you. Mike, by the way. Over to you, Mike.
Thanks, Pete. KDAZGL. Well, I was privy to Gordon's questions ahead of time by email since he started off the flow. And in looking through Gordon's questions, I have to say this is the one I had the most difficulty with thinking of any preconceived answers for. So I guess I'll just have to say I'm going on single for 3 years. Not married. Not close to being married. So I can only speak to the dating world at this point in my life. And the only thing I've really figured out how to breach on that subject is, why do you need so many radios and GPS devices in your car? And my answer is usually to talk to the world and to talk to the people around me. So I don't have a good answer for this one, so I'm going to listen to everybody's advice and just say that I know that if the girl that I'm dating at the time can't put up with the radios and the squawking chatterboxes, as they've been called, and all the beeps in the car, we're probably not headed to the altar anytime soon. So, I don't have a lot on that one. I'm interested to hear Tony's answer, though. And Gordon, that's great advice. I like the idea of where to place the device on the desk. I ask a lot of opinion of my mother, a lot of opinions from my mother when I'm building radios or putting radios in locations or things in the house. And if I would just clear the pile of HTs off the kitchen room table, she'd be a happy camper. Pick it up, Tony. KVAZGL.
Okay, fine there, Mike. Well, hang on a sec. Yeah, just reduce power on the HT, don't need it. Good question there, Gordon. And I guess there's a few other variables too. If ham radio is first, well, obviously, as Mike said, because you get people who are a different attitude. Some are hostile to it. Some are curious, some are indifferent. If it's a latter two, in my case, if it's the first, forget it. Won't get along. If it's either of the latter two, you can work with that. And I think as long as making sure that the ham radio hobby doesn't take over your life, do a bit of it together. Also show that it's not just mindless yakking to, sort of like a virtual bar or something, but it's actually something constructive, there's something that comes out of the other end. As you said, involving them in it in some peripheral way, like interior design or gadget shopping at a ham fest. That's a good one. All sorts of methods. It's also highly dependent on the person involved too. I don't think you'll ever find a definitive answer, just a bunch of suggestions based on everyone's different experience. Now, I'm not too sure who's after me, so back to you, Pete, V2XPI on the group, VK3JED.
Well, it was coming back to me, so you're all good. No, indeed, an interesting question and a whole bunch of interesting answers. It is different for everyone. Everybody's got a different experience. Everybody's got a different wife, well, hopefully. Everybody reacts in a different way. My loved ones, Sharon and the girls, are not radio-oriented. My youngest likes to talk. My oldest girl likes to fiddle with the buttons and knobs, so she thinks that's really cool, especially when you hear the carriers and the whining of single sideband. She thinks that's really, really cool. Sharon actually likes to listen. She likes to listen to the nets. She especially likes to hear Gordon, because everybody says Gordon's got that great broadcaster's voice. Gordon, maybe you made a wrong career choice by being an engineer. Maybe you should have been a broadcaster. And she also likes to listen to Kathy, because she thinks it's great that Kathy's in there and giving the YL representation, which, ladies are very underrepresented in our group. So I try to encourage her to... Sharon never wants to say hello, never wants to chat. She likes to listen. I think it's also about a balance between your hobbies. It's like anything, everything in moderation. If you spend all your time at the bar and none with your better half, your significant others, things are going to fail one day. So spend time and give attention to your wife and family. If they like ham radio and you do that together, all the better. And if you don't, I end up doing a lot of my ham radio and early in the morning when they're still sleeping or when they're watching TV sometimes. So it's all about respect, respecting each other's beliefs and thoughts and respecting each other's hobbies, right? So my better half likes to watch TV on Thursday nights, so she does not listen to the open forum. She's presently watching, I believe it's Grey's Anatomy that's on tonight, but not being a TV guy, I'm not really sure what she's watching. So with that, let's see if Jack's back. K4JK, are you available, sir, for comment? All right, Jack's, the cat's got Jack's tongue. Jack's got several cats, so the intentions are high, people. Intentions are high. All right. Does anybody out there open to the open public, open forum? Does anybody have any comments? Does anybody want to chime in and let us know how you experience your hobby within your family? Over to you. Come on aboard with your suffix only, please. This is the TNT Open Forum.
Mike Hotel.
Excellent. Come on aboard and welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Pete, and the rest of the net. This is N2MH from beautiful Eagle Ridge here in West Orange, New Jersey. I'd like to echo the same kind of things that Gordon mentioned. I find that those are very helpful. And my wife does like to go to the flea markets. You know, I say, we're going to the flea market. She says, okay. And invariably, she talks to somebody there for hours on end, maybe not hours on end, but a lot longer than I talk to some people. And she always finds something interesting. Doesn't know what it is, so she grabs me and says, what is this thing? So I explain it to her. What one of the key things that she liked to do, let me drop it here for a minute, was very early after we got married, we got involved with VHF contesting as a rover, which meant we'd go driving all over the northeast part of the country here. Well, she liked visiting places, and one or two of the places that we visited was Cape Cod and Maine, and she just loved that, you know, the actual traveling part of it, sightseeing. Well, maybe not sightseeing, but, you know, going places that don't be places. Indeed. And that went over very big. The other thing that helped very well, let me drop it one more time, was we were coming back from one of our trips down south, and we came across this traffic jam. We didn't know what was going on, so we found a local 2-meter repeater, and a guy told us on there that some truck had driven over the Annapolis Bridge, and you're probably going to see a 12-hour backup. So he talked us into a different way to go back home. Actually, we went up to 95 from there, and that saved us many hours. So the fact that you can get on the radio and get other directions like that, very important, very helpful, very eye-opening. And you can point to the radio. See, it works. Back to the net. This is N2MH.
Oh, thanks very much, Mark. I appreciate the comment. Indeed, you can show your significant other and your family the usefulness of ham radio on a day-to-day basis. Definitely a good thing. Kathy had noted in the text box, too, that what sold her was being able to communicate while living in Tornado Alley, I believe, is somewhere up in the text box. I've lost it. But having usefulness for showing usefulness for the equipment is definitely a good thing. So does anybody else have any comments? Welcome to the TNT Open Forum. Come on aboard with your suffix only, please. All right, we'll move it right along then. We'll jump right on over to Mike. And Mike, you told me that you didn't have your topics handy. Is that correct? Would you like me to pick one from the list and read it?
No problem, Pete. I ran and grabbed the email and hit the print button. I got them in front of me now. So I'll just roll with it here, and then I'll pass it over to Tony, and he can send it on to Gordon. So I'm going to jump around to my topics a little, and the only reason is I have a little bit of a segue from our last topic. This is KB8ZGL. And staying with our last topic, well, not staying with it, but my question and of interest is, this year I just registered for my dad and I to attend our 15th Dayton, Ohio Hamvention together. We've been going for 15 years since the first year I think it was 1 or 2 years before I was licensed. It's what really inspired me to get my license. And we will be in the flea market again. So anybody that hasn't put the Dayton, Ohio Hamvention on their calendar for this coming year yet, May 14th, 15th, and 16th, or 15th, 16th, and 17th, I believe. If you wanted to have an eyeball QSO, I will be there. that brings me to my question, and that is, besides the Dayton, Ohio hamvention, what is your favorite hamvention? What is the largest kind of hamvention you go to, and have you been to the Dayton hamvention? And do you intend to go this year? I know it's a lot of questions, but I think everybody probably can encompass it. I imagine probably not for Tony, but I'd be curious to know what the largest hamvention in Australia is. And the reason is, I think it's a segue from the last question a little. Let me drop here a sec. Is the fact that when my dad and I go every year, we do keep my sisters and my mother in our thoughts while we're there playing radio for 3 days to no end. And so if you're in the flea market and you want a neat idea for your significant other or your loved ones, if you have a twister sister at the flea market or something similar, for years we have always bought jewelry from Twister Sister for my family to bring back. And each year they know they're going to get a piece of jewelry. And they're always excited what that's going to be. So, something for the last topic and the question for the new, what's the biggest hamvention you're going to plan on going to in 2010, and have you been to the Dayton hamvention? Go ahead, Tony, KBAZGL.
Okay, Mike. Well, you're going to get a pretty dull answer out of me, I'm afraid. The easy one first, I haven't been to Dayton for obvious reasons. Yeah, would certainly love to go. It's on my wish list of things I must do before I leave this world. And it's in the long-term plan. It's just that it's still at least a couple of years off, but it's definitely in the medium to long-term plans once the financial situation gets appropriate and there's enough time off. It could take up to 10 years for the latter factor. But with that one out of the way, what I'm planning in 2010, well, I don't plan ahead. I generally only go to local ones, local ham fests. But I haven't been for a couple of years. Transport's my biggest problem, and most of them are out of town, and time wiped out the other couple. Next year it's all potluck. As for the biggest one I've been to, well, that's the Wyong. They call it the Wyong Field Day, but it's actually a ham fest. They get a couple of thousand up north of Sydney. I went twice in 2003 and 2004, I think they. But went 2 years in a row, and gave a talk 1 year, which went damn well. Speaking of presentations, the biggest presentation I've given was at the IRLP conference, which is now the VOIP conference, is held every year in Las Vegas back in 2005. So there we go. Anyway. Over to Gordon, KY6V, and the group VK3JED.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. KY6V here. We'd love to see you back up here in the States. I'll tell you, we'll wine you and dine you and put the red carpet out in the whole nine yards. Well, Mike, I have never been to Dayton, and I've thought about it many times. It's just never come to pass for a number of reasons. I'd like to make it some time before I pass beyond. As many years as I've been a ham and have never made the biggest show in the United States, sometimes galls me a little bit. But in answer of your question, at one point in time, my answer would have been the Miami Ham Fest. As a second that you should consider, that has changed considerably over the last 10 to 15 years. And the biggest in the state of Florida, and now getting close to Dayton fame, is our Orlando, Florida. Hamcation is what it's officially called, and it normally takes place in early February, and for some reason, most of the times comes right out on Valentine's Day. On the 14th of February, I haven't figured out why they do that, because you talk about trying to keep your wife happy. That is not the way to do it. But that would be my recommendation. As far as Dayton is concerned, I've been closer than close. Last year, they had a couple of video and audio feeds coming out of the convention, and some of my friends that were up there would go by the video camera and wave at me and say hello and so on and so forth, which was sort of neat. And I don't know about your comment, Twister Sisters. That sounds like Cloak and Dagger to me. Up to you, Pete. KY6V, back to net.
I must say that I'm shocked and disillusioned that Gordon's never been to Dayton. But I guess, you know, I don't have to feel so bad about not being to Dayton either. I have not been to Dayton. I want to go to Dayton, and I also hope to do so before I kick the bucket. That's one of those bucket list items, indeed. And I've heard so many great stories about it. And as far as big hamventions or conventions go, that's what they talk about here too, up in Canada at our local club and the other clubs. The Dayton Hamvention. The Dayton Hamvention is the big event in North America, so I hope to be there. I guess the biggest event around here, I attend two that are quite big. One is in a little town of Sorel. It's called Sorel. It's a mining and shipping town just up the river here, up the St. Lawrence Seaway, and they have a pretty decent ham fest. They usually get about 500 or 600 people there every year in the spring. It's the first ham fest of the season, so that's always very exciting. So that's one of the reasons we go, because after a long winter of being cooped up inside, you gotta, you know, it's fun playing radio and being in the shack, but you want to get out to the ham fest. So the first one of the season is always exciting. So that's 60 miles away, 100 kilometers from here, so that's a nice drive. And the beauty of that ham fest is that the town of Sorel also boasts Quebec's only amateur radio, ham radio museum. Let me break. So after the ham fest, go from about, they open at 9, gates open at 9. Usually everything's done by 12 or 1, of course. And you can spend a couple hours going to the ham radio museum, which is really cool, because it's a radio, broadcast radio and ham radio museum. And on the second floor, they actually have three stations that you can operate, from very vintage equipment to the newest equipment. So that's also very exciting. And the second one that I like to attend is the Montreal. Our amateur radio club has the biggest ham fest in Quebec, we're told. We get between 1,000 and 1,200 people here every year. Ours is in October, and it's the last ham fest of the season. So I get to go to the first, and I get to go to the last. And the last one is the one from our club. I always volunteer, so I get in at 6 a.m., help set up, and I'm there to see the giddies before the gates open. And that's how I picked up my HT last year, my trusty FT530, which I love very much. So that's my 2 cents worth. So with that, I guess we'll move on to the next topic. If ever Jack or John, K4JAK and W8RAT are aboard, feel free to chime in the next round. Actually, I forgot to open it up for topics of discussion to the general public. Does anybody have any interesting stories or amusing anecdotes from Hamfest or the Dayton Hamvention they'd like to share? Come on aboard to South Cars TNT now. Suffix only, please. All right. Nobody's been to Dayton? Come on, I can't believe that. Somebody has to have been to Dayton. We'll move right along. Moving right along to the next topic, I guess we'll jump on over to Tony. Tony, I know you were kind of roped in at the last minute, and I'm not sure if you have a topic at the top of your head that you'd like to throw out for discussion. So VK3JED, if you do, that's fine, and if not, let me know, and I'll pick one from my bag of goodies.
Yeah, okay, there, Pete. No, well, nothing like being put on the spot. I've had a couple of ideas. Let's see, which one will I go for? Probably, I'd have to ask what would be the most unusual ham radio activity that you've done. It can be operating where you've operated from. It can be or anything else to do with ham radio. And I've got a couple of contenders, but I think the one that takes the cake for me is operating the club station of the Naturist Amateur Radio Club, call sign NU5DE, when I was up in Texas on that same trip that I went to Vegas. So that was good. And using that call sign with, shall we say, a foreign accent by American standards, definitely gets attention. Anyway, over you, Gordon, KY6V and the group VK3JED.
Sorry for the delay there, Tony. I heard every word, but I was down on the other side of the house. Didn't think you were going to throw it at me that fast. KY6V here. Let me see if I can address that. Interesting happenings in your ham career and hobby. I think the one that comes to mind real quick, Tony, and everybody that's assembled here, is I, at one juncture, was very interested in bunny hunting, finding the hidden transmitter type thing. And I put on a hidden transmitter hunt down in the Keys a number of years back. That was really a challenge. Now let me buy a nickel here so that I don't time anything out. Stand by one. And I had a lot of fun, and there was an awful lot of conversation that went on for months and months and months after it. We buried a transmitter on a little island right off of Key Largo in the Florida Keys. We ran two antennas up into this tree right where the transmitter had been buried. This was on 2 meters. We had one of the antennas horizontally polarized. We had the other antenna vertically polarized. We had the starting point out of Key West, which was considerably south of the actual transmitter location. That was the starting for the hunt. We had spotters set up that could follow the traffic pattern of these hams coming up. We had a secondary transmitter site halfway up the Keys that we would switch back and forth to, obviously changing the bearing and the signal strengths. We could remotely access the transmitter that had a remote activated switching mechanism on it where we could switch the antennas from horizontal to vertical. We had a spotter that was within a viewable distance of the hidden transmitter, and if somebody got across the bridge and got to this small little island and started getting close, why, we could change power levels, we could change antenna polarity. And the first guy took 2 hours and 20 minutes to find us. So that's the story there. Over to you, Mike, for your comments. KB8ZGL, KY6V in the net.
Thanks, Gordon. KB8ZGL. Well, wow, guys, those are some good stories. I don't know. I was thinking about that one. Good question, Tony. I don't have any incredibly rare and unique stories. I've worked some stations for an event from the Mackinac Bridge for a special event station crossing the Great Lakes between the Lower and Upper Peninsula in Michigan. That was an interesting experience, although I didn't do a lot of operating there. I have to say probably my most interesting story, at least to me, is my time when I was running contests and contesting stations out of Michigan State University. And the November sweepstakes, the ARRL November sweepstakes, which we just had not too long ago, which is probably why this is fresh in my memory. We always handed out the call, W8SH, Whiskey 8 Sugar Hotel, check 19 Michigan, 19 Michigan. And I had never had so many weird responses to handing out that call sign and that check for the contest, being that the station was first licensed in 1919. And that's got to be one of my most memorable operating experiences over the years, and I still enjoy going back and handing out check 19 from Michigan. So, go ahead, Pete. VU2XPL, KBAZGL in the group.
Yeah, good experiences, good experiences. We have another Pete who wants to chime in. KD4OVI, come on aboard. Tell us your story.
And this is KD4OVI. I've got, I'm thinking about the future and what I'm seeing in the movies. There's this new thing coming up, 2012. I'm thinking that that could be a topic in the future, not tonight, but something in the future to discuss how those emergencies could be handled. For us being in the ham a part of it, see what we can contribute when this supposedly event's supposed to happen. What would be required to have successful communication around the world so people can keep in touch with each other. Back to you, Pete. KD4OVI.
Well, you played a trick on me, Pete. I thought you had a comment on your favorite or most I'm reading something. That's very rude of me, isn't it? I'm paying full attention to you guys now. So I thought you were going to comment on your favorite operating condition or a story. Do you have a story or something interesting or weird that may have happened to you over the years while operating over?
The only thing I can report, Pete, which I've done, which I really feel proud of, is building a 2-meter Yagi antenna system, which was 15 feet long, had 9 elements placed on it, free space, that is, too. And I used it to do some communications from Miami all the way over to over the pond to the Bahamas. And I spoke to a person by the name of Rudy over there. He had a stack 11 pointed west to Miami. And that was my most memorable expedition, the expedition on 2 meters. And let me stop here for a minute for Nickel. And that was my most memorable occasion, building that 9-element 50-foot boom length antenna system. Which was nice to build. I like that build. All store-bought items, with except for the cable and the connector that came from one of the radio places down there. Other than that, all from the store bought. So you can build antennas from the store. It takes a little bit of time and confidence. But I did it, and that was one of my hallmark accomplishments down in Miami. I spoke to the Bahamas. International, on 2 meters. KD4OVI, back to your Pete.
All right, roger that. Excellent, excellent. Well, there's nothing like building your own stuff and putting it up and finding out that it works, especially when you can go over a puddle of water. That's pretty significant, so congratulations. That's a great story. I love homebrewing stuff. Not very good at it, but I like doing it. It keeps me out of trouble, I guess. I've homebrewed every antenna that I use. I don't have a single. I have a store-bought antenna that was donated to me, but it's actually it's hanging right above me right now, and it's not being used. It's a directional one, and I'm not sure what to do with it yet. I don't have a use for it just yet, but I will. Let's see, my most favorite operating condition is working. When I go on vacation to the Maritimes in the summer, we go down and visit our families. My wife and I both have family in New Brunswick, and that's where I'm from. And her family, her in-laws are there, so we spend a lot of time at the coast, which is very nice. And we stay on my grandfather's farm. My grandfather's farm is at the top of a little hill on a beautiful acreage. It sits on 60 acres of land, which is very nice. There's no neighbors for miles. And I like to set up in his attic. I have this little homebrew. Speaking of homebrew antennas, I have a little homebrew quarter-wave ground plane made out of 12-gauge wire that I can just roll up and put in my go kit, my little bag. And when I'm on vacation, I only have my handheld, of course, because six of us travel in a Ford Focus, me, my wife, my two kids, and our two dogs, and all of our stuff. So there's not a whole lot of room for extra radio gear. So I pack light. I sit up in my grandfather's attic for hours at a time, and I have the antenna hooked into the roof, and I see how far I can get with the QSOs. And amazingly, I can probably get twice the distance out of my HT out there that I can here, but it's very, very normal. Wide open spaces, the greatest ground plane in the world, you know, the Atlantic Ocean, and at the top of the hill. So that's my certainly my favorite one. Let me pause for a sec. Yeah, the height was only 20 feet, Pete says. That's pretty much as high as my antenna is probably when I'm in the attic as well. And a somewhat funny anecdote happened to me a few weeks ago. Actually, I was hiking, I was backpack mobile, as Rick says, ND4Z, backpack mobile. Rick's going to be a guest on here next week, by the way, and we'll be discussing his adventures with backpack mobile. But I was backpack mobile with the dogs hiking around one of the power plants around here that has a lot of woods around it. And it's also hunting terrain. So just shortly before the hunting season, I was walking around, and a gentleman, probably in his late 60s, early 70s, approached me on one of those quad-type bikes. And he had a big, giant sack of potatoes on the front and a big, giant sack of carrots on the back, which I thought was quite interesting, too, this late in the season. And he saw me with my backpack, and my backpack has a six-foot pole that sticks out of it. It's actually an old broom handle, and I put my quarter-wave ground plane on that. And so I guess I look like some sort of Martian, so the gentleman had to come over and ask me what it was all about. So I got to give him a little demonstration of ham radio in action, talking to someone. I believe I was on the Ireland conference server at the time, so I talked overseas to someone, a gentleman from the UK. So that was a lot of fun, and got some interesting comments out of that one. Gordon wanted to chime in again, so KY6V, come on aboard.
Hey, thanks, Pete. I don't want to monopolize things here. Gordon, KY6V. I was just thinking of another cute story that I thought I would share here for a little bit of a chuckle. We had a very outstanding, and Pete will remember this, repeater system that was on a TV tower down there in Miami. This baby was up over 1,000 feet and had a great footprint. And the trustee, who will go nameless at this point, was a gentleman that was rather straight-laced when it came to the rules and operation of the repeater. Particularly, he frowned upon people kerchunking, you know, just hitting their push to talk to see if they could hear the repeater come back to them. And he would get into a situation, Pete, where he'd get very frustrated, and he'd come on and he'd say, "Would the person or persons that are kerchunking this repeater please cease and desist?" Well, obviously, the ham personnel around Miami got wind of that, and every time he'd say something like that, everybody grabbed their microphone, and the wives, talk about wife participation, would ask, "Hey, can I do it this time?" They'd grab the microphone and go kerchunk. So let me tell you the rest of the story after this timeout reset. Stand by one. So one day, lo and behold, there was a continuous chunking that happened exactly every 3 minutes on the repeater. I mean, it was to the second. It would go kerchunk, and 3 minutes later, it would go kerchunk, and this thing lasted for hours. So a group of us got together with our DF antennas, and we started going on a bunny hunt, and we found it, Pete. A guy had put a 555 timer in a green pill bottle with a 19-inch, this was a 2-meter repeater, 19-inch green wire for the antenna coming out of the top cap of this pill bottle, if you will. He had got a little perf board from Radio Shack. He had mounted the 555 timer in it, along with a little 9-volt battery and a crystal that was cut for the repeater frequency, input frequency. And he hung it on a tree branch 1,500 feet away from the tower that the repeater was on. When we found it, we took it over to the trustee and handed it to him and says, it's yours. Back to you, Pete. KY6V, over.
Roger that. That's great. Sorry. I paused for a second because I was busy laughing. A guy with a lot of time on his hands. that's great. What an awesome story. And I'm sure there's a lot of little pearls of wisdom like that. I'll pass it back over to Tony. I'm being accused of having hijacked the topic. However, I will remind Tony that it's my open forum. I'm just kidding. Take it away, Tony. VK3JED.
Yes, fine there, Pete. And soon you'll be running on my conference technology. Hi, hi. Sorry, couldn't resist. Oh, well, since you hijacked the topic, I thought, well, maybe I should say my favourite experience. I mean, I've got a huge number that would qualify, I mean, from the sheer scale of it, as the very same trip that my unusual experience happened on, the one to the US. The whole trip itself was my favourite ham radio experience because the whole trip was all about ham radio. From go to woe, I stayed with ham friends at all times except for the 3 days in Vegas. I was in Vegas for the IRLP conference on that particular trip and gave a talk about basically about the conference technology we're using now and Echo IRLP and all of those stuff when they were all very, very new. The following weekend, I was with the VYP Hurricane Net crew, gave pretty much the same presentation again to them, and we had a social weekend as well as a meeting weekend, and that took in their regular weekly net, which is really funny doing it on a Saturday night since I'm used to doing it on a Sunday morning, which is when it falls down here. Yeah, that's the number one, but yes, had lots of good fox hunting ones. I can certainly relate to some of yours there, Gordon. And ARDF is another ham radio experience. Back in 2003, I was part of the winning Australian team for the Region 3 ARDF Championships. We won overall. We won both the 2-metre and the 80-metre events, and I also got an individual third in the 80-metre event. Not bad considering I only started ARDF about 2 months previously, so I was quite happy with that result, and I was a long way from getting my fitness up to scratch and not being a natural distance runner as well, so I was very pleased with that result. Anyway, back to you, Pete, VE2XBL with the NAT VK3JED.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. A whole ham radio vacation. A hamcation. Can you say that? I guess we can. We could say anything we want, can't we? Very cool indeed. How lucky is that, taking a whole ham radio vacation indeed. A lot of us take ham radio along with us on our vacations, but when it all rolls around, I guess just make full circle, and events such as the Dayton Hamvention could be considered a mini 3-day ham radio vacation. So those of us who are fortunate enough should take every opportunity and enjoy every minute. So thank you, Tony. Again, thanks for joining us at the last minute and filling in the gap. Appreciate that indeed. I'm going to throw in one of my topics, and since Tony's with us, I thought this was funny. I was looking through I have 4 or 5 topics here, and wondering which one I should throw out. By the way, we've just hit 9:30, 21:32, 25 seconds right now, Eastern time, of course. We're looking at 2:32 UTC. a.m. on Friday for you, Tony. Tony is already in the future. Tony can tell us what the future is going to be holding for the rest of us a little bit later on. But I'm going to throw this one out. I thought this was rather interesting. And Tony will think this is rather interesting, too, because we've often had interesting talks and debates about this. Should we do away with time change, daylight savings? Is it still necessary? Or should we just always stay on standard time? Or should we all go to some sort of universal world time? So we'll start at the top of the list again with Gordon, over to Mike, then over to Tony, and then we can bring it back over to me. And I see Pete put in a comment in the text box there, KD4OVI, so if you want to jump in, you could do that after Tony. So take it away, Gordon.
It's over there, over by Montana, depending on the route that you take. May not be familiar, yeah, but it's gentle enough to instill your very confidence on every walk to St. Mary's Lake.
Okay, thanks, Pete. KY6V. Well, I guess from my standpoint, I'd have to be selfish, and I said, absolutely, let's do it. We don't need daylight savings time. I'm not talking from the standpoint of the farmers. I'm not talking from the standpoint of the power suppliers, you know, the power plants and the electric companies and so on and so forth. I'd be interested to see what Tony's going to say about this, but from my standpoint, I find it a glorious pain in the hoo-hoo. You try to schedule a net activity, excuse me, like we run with South Cars, that is a worldwide type situation. You have countries that participate in daylight saving time. You have countries that do not participate in daylight saving time. You have states, or at least one state that I know of in the United States, that refuses to make the change. Then these countries that do participate all decide that they're going to change back to standard time at different times. Our good friends in Australia do it at the first part of October. Our good friends in Europe do it at the end of October. We do it at the start of November here in the United States. And you try to schedule this and make some sense out of it and get the word to everybody, it just doesn't happen. The 10% that never get the word turns out to be something like 60% of the group. So, Tony, this is your subject. This is your area of expertise. Let's hear your position. KY6V to VK3JED. Over.
All I can say to that, Gordon, is I don't know what it is with you guys up on that side of the planet. The time comes and goes, and it doesn't really cause any bother here. I can approach it from a number of angles. From purely social point of view here in town, I mean, there are advantages in some ways in that for a lot of people the mornings can still be a bit cool, although not so much these days, but it used to be the mornings were always a bit cooler, get out to places like the beach, whereas the evenings were always quite warm. So, yeah, for a family or social standpoint, it can be good.
But the bad thing is that you're effectively going to bed an hour earlier, which means that when you get a day of 40 degrees or, well, as we've had in recent years, 45 degrees Celsius, that is, it can still be a bit hot to go to bed. So, it's a double-edged sword, and you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers. Myself, I just deal with it. I'm used to living in multiple time zones, so not a bother. And most locals here don't seem to find it. If we've got next in UTC, we don't sort of seem to have this mass confusion of, okay, what time's the net supposed to be? It just, everyone just seems to work it out. It seems to be less of a bother here. Where it becomes a real problem is our northern states are a lot closer to the equator than your southern states. We've got people in the urbanised parts of southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales, two different states. One's on New South Wales on daylight savings, Queensland isn't, and there's a bit of border confusion there because a lot of the cities are twin cities straddling the borders, like Tweed Heads and Coolangatta, effectively one urban area but straddling a river that forms the border between Queensland and New South Wales. Western Australia just can't make up its mind. They say, yes, we all know he won't, and they keep having trials, and then it gets voted down in a referendum, so they just can't make up their mind. So it's more keeping track of the inconsistencies, and I think the worst thing that happened with daylight savings was you guys over there in the States messing around with your darn start and finish dates and making, you're the ones that made it so removed from the rest of the world. That was highly annoying because you were fairly close to the rest of us. Here we got a sensible, at least we're doing it sensible, 6 months on, 6 months off. I'll just pause for things to reset. One other thought that's been floated by a few people is let's do everything on UTC. I'm not sure that the average person can cope with that because I'd sort of get up around 2000 hours. Actually, this time of year, between 1830 and 1900 hours. And during the course of my day, which is also during the course of a standard business day, the date suddenly changes. So, yes, there'd be a few little quirks to deal with, but certainly I think UTC should become more mainstream. Teaching not just for shortwave listeners and hams and those sort of people, but also it should be generally known in schools and become the standard for international commerce. It would certainly make international dealing so much easier and get to the point where you can just say net that 0, 100 UTC, and everyone just knows what time of day that is in their local area if they're not running a UTC clock themselves. Anyway, over to you, Mike. I think you're next. KVA-ZGL in the group, VK3JED.
KVA-ZGL. Well, an interesting question, Pete. And to be honest with you, the only time I really care about is what the Linux box I'm looking at and working on says, but whether that's middle of the day or whatever, or an hour different, it doesn't affect me too much. From keeping the economics and stuff out of it, I would say from a personal standpoint, the good news is that when you spring ahead an hour, the pubs still stay open till 2 a.m. here my time, and then when you fall behind, you just get an extra hour. So while I'm not a big attender of that type of venue, it's good for that business anyways. They get an extra hour in there when we fall behind an hour. The biggest thing I've always said is, who came up with the idea that we always have to work during the daylight hours and sleep during the night hours? Because I can sleep just fine during the day and work just fine at night. And I get a lot more done in the sun, but every time I get up for work, it's dark, and every time I leave to go home, it's dark, especially this time of year. So I'm not a third shifter by any means. I have to work a normal standard day and then some, but I always have wondered why do we work during the day and sleep during the night when we could be doing our own things in the sunlight. However, it's not a big effect to me, and I usually keep a UTC clock running on all my computers and in the majority of my radio areas. So that way when Tony announces what time he gets up in UTC, my mind doesn't have to calculate whether that's 4 or 5 hours behind me at that point. And I once had a digital wristwatch that was in UTC also, but those were a long days ago. I think we are going to pass it over to Pete. KD4, VOI, Victor Oscar India. Go ahead with your comments, I believe. KBAZGL in the group.
Hi, thank you very much. Yeah, item one. What is daylight saving time for? Item two. I think we ought to go back to when time was developed. Time was developed by the sun. We always spun our time around the sun. And right away, mankind has this brilliant idea, daylight saving time. Yeah, what's it good for? Can you explain it? It's an artificial time standard. And since when do we have to conform to an artificial time standard? We should conform to the time standard of the sun. The sun started the time with God's help, and I think we ought to stay on sun time. End the comment from KD4 Oscar Victor India, back to Night Control.
Yeah, wise words indeed. We had N2MH in the text box as well. Do you have any comments, Mark? Come on aboard.
Yeah, this is N2MH. Maybe some anecdotal comments. At one time, I used to work for a global bank headquartered in New York here. And unfortunately, the mindset in the bank was that the world is centered on Eastern time. And whichever it was at that time of the year, whether it was standard time or daylight time, the rest of the world had to revolve around New York. Everything was defined in New York time. Drove me nuts. So my vote is daylight time is a waste of time. And 2MH.
Very good. A valid comment. We have pretty much a unanimity, pretty unanimous indeed. I liked Mike's comments about the pubs being open an extra hour, because I remember in my university days, that's certainly something we looked forward to every year. It's like, yeah, daylight savings, an extra hour to hang out in the pub. So that was awesome. And no, I'm all for I mean, time is whatever you want to make it. It's arbitrary. We invented time. It doesn't really exist, you know. Time is something that is man-made, as Pete said. And the sun will revolve around the planet, whether you call that, you know, when the sun's at the top of its apex. Is it noon, or is it 6 p.m., or is it midnight? What does it matter as long as it's daytime and you're doing what you have to do? So I'm all for universal time, where we live in a much more global community now. It's not just a global community of South Cars, but it's just a global community. Everything is all around the world now. Years and years ago, everything was very local. The economies were localized, so it was probably a solution that worked quite well then for various reasons, economic, for the farmers, et cetera. But now, global community, so let's move to a global time, I think. And that's about my two cents. And the last comment I wanted to make is on the other side of the coin, if we do get rid of all the world time zones and we go to universal time, what's going to happen to the nice people who developed timeanddate.com? They're going to go out of business. So maybe from that point of view, we should keep going. Anyhow, does anybody have any comments on this or any other topic that we've touched on so far tonight? Welcome to the TNT Open Forum. The floor is open for your comments. Come on aboard with your suffix only, please.
Yeah, let's make sure. VK3JD.
All right, come on aboard. The long, uncomfortable silences usually bring out some people. So Come on aboard, Tony. Welcome again.
Yeah, to answer Mark's question, yes, we're in daylight savings now, so it's opposite to you guys. One of the little things I was sort of pointing at to Pete over the last couple of months, Pete will know I've slapped him around with it enough times. The sun was the standard up until the advent of the railroad. Once the railroad came in, it became necessary to coordinate events at wide distances and know when the train was going to arrive, and conversion to 15 minutes there, 23 minutes here and whatever was just not going to cut it. If we went on solar time now, we would still be confused, even more so because we have all these weird fractional hour offsets. It's 1:47 p.m. here right now, but it's also, I haven't got the site in front of me, but somewhere in the order of about half an hour to 40 minutes past local solar moon at this location. So if we all went back to that system, you can see the confusion. We just got to learn to become even more tightly coordinated, so that we can, UTC is a good step, because we say time in UTC, it's consistent across the world. Whether people can convert to it or from it, if it's really that much trouble, we could always define UTC as a standard and just deal with the date madness, or have some other workaround for that. Anyway, VE2XPL in the group, VK3JED.
Yeah, roger that. Thanks for the comments. And indeed, if we ever went to UTC, would we, this is a side question, would we reposition the zero mark? Would we reposition the point where the days change? Tony, what's your take on that?
I don't see why we should. Everything is defined for a particular reason. The system of timekeeping we've got dates back to ancient cycles. The gauge of the railroad tracks at the Kennedy Space Center was purely dependent on the distance between the rear end of two Roman horses. So I don't see why. I know where you're going next, and definitely won't move it to New York or anywhere like that. I mean, because the other thing too is you mess up all your longitude measurements too, so it's best to leave the prime meridian and the UTC standard all in Greenwich where they are at the moment. I don't see any good reason to change it.
Yeah, roger that. I was curious what you'd say. Do you know the reason why this is something I really honestly don't know? Why is the prime meridian the prime meridian? Is there, did those guys just decide that they would be at the beginning of the day, or how did that come about? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you don't know the answer, it's not a big deal. I'm just curious if you might have an answer, or anybody else out there who might have an answer, over.
Yeah, like everything else, I'm about 90% certain of this, but remember for for the 19th century, the major naval power of the world was Great Britain. During the era when latitude and longitude were formalised, the railroad came to prominence and time zones and the international time standards were developed, Britain was the world power. It was definitely the world naval power. The strongest empire on the planet. So, of course, they made it at their home. history would tell you. If someone's got a better answer, but I'm pretty sure that's the answer there, Pete.
No, yeah, roger that. No, that sounds like a logical answer indeed. I guess if I'd have dug back into history a little bit, I might have figured that out, but... I'm working on 4 hours sleep here from last night, so I'm probably not the sharpest pencil in the box tonight. So thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone, for their comments. Let's open her up one more time. We're looking at 21:52, almost 21:53 Eastern Standard Time, New York time. I'm going to call it Montreal time because that's where I am. So I'll open it up for questions, comments on anything that we've discussed tonight. Come on aboard. Suffix only, please, and welcome to the TNT Open Forum.
Mike Hotel.
All right. No, I'm not a minute fast. I'm looking at the so Tony says that I'm a minute fast, but I'm looking at the U.S. Naval Time Clock. And if the U.S. Navy ain't right with their atomic time clock, who is? Thanks, Mark. Mark is our honorary panel member tonight, so come on aboard.
Okay, I just wanted to expand on Tony's explanation a little bit. As I understand it, it did have to do with England being the naval supremacy of the world. But the details, I think, are that they had established an observatory in Greenwich, England. Greenwich is a city on the Thames River just outside London, just a little east of London. And for all their purposes, they define that the longitude, if they drew a line of longitude through the middle of the observatory, that would be the prime meridian. And from there, they would define time either east or west, plus or minus whatever. And I think that's also how it became known as Greenwich Mean Time, from the city of Greenwich. And in fact, to this day, that observatory is still there. You can go there, you can visit it. And they have a place right outside the fence where they have a line drawn on the pavement, and you can stand on both sides of the prime meridian if you want.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, Tony just wrote that in the text box. Yep, the prime meridian is marked at the observatory. So thanks for the specification on the explanation. That's great. And I like that. You can stand on both sides of the line. So you could that's probably the only way right now that you can time travel is to go to that observatory in Greenwich and stand on either side of the line. And then you could, where east meets west, indeed, and where the days meet. So you could... within seconds, you can travel back and forth from one day to the next. So that's kind of cool. Let's see. One more comment, Pete. Yeah, come on aboard, Mark. N2MH. Welcome again.
Okay, the E2XBL on the net. This is N2MH. One other comment on your remark about time travel. When the... it just escaped me now. The supersonic plane that England was flying, when that was still in service, rumor had it that they had a special New Year's flight. And what it was, you'd go to Heathrow Airport at like 11 o'clock in England, party 11:30 or so, party until it was midnight, get on the plane, fly it to New York, get off the plane, it's now 11:30 again, and you could celebrate New Year's Eve all over again.
I got a comment for you too, Pete.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony. I like that. I like the thing about flying back to New York. First of all, you got to be a diehard partier, but that would be cool. And secondly, I'm sure that probably wasn't a very cheap flight indeed, and flying on New Year's Eve across the Atlantic to another continent. But probably well worth it indeed. Come on aboard, Tony.
Yeah, a couple of comments. That sort of stuff here is par for the course. Had I got on a direct flight rather than stopping in Auckland, I would have actually arrived in Los Angeles a couple of hours before I left. As it was, I arrived 40 minutes after I left. Because you're slightly incorrect there, Pete. The date doesn't change at the prime meridian, but it is where east meets west, where the big date change is on the other side of the world, the international date line, which runs through the middle of the Pacific. It's not exactly on the 180 degree meridian. It meanders east and west to
avoid dividing countries up into separate days. I sort of weaves between the islands. But it's when you cross that. The longest day in my life lasted 41 hours. That's the day that I headed east across the date line. The shortest day in my life, I think, lasted about 3 or 4 hours on the return trip. There was a chance day that, only lasted a few hours until I crossed the date line. It was suddenly Wednesday morning. And that New Year's trip, you could theoretically do the same thing here, have a party here on the East Coast, and if there was a flight leaving, you wouldn't want to leave from Sydney because there'd be no flights leaving just after midnight, but you might be lucky here in Melbourne or Brisbane to get something that goes straight across. You could land a couple of hours before the fireworks in LA. Come to think of it, I think the commercial flights across the Pacific are usually a bit later in the day, but if there was one, you could certainly it could certainly be done even on a standard 747 or A380. No problem at all. That's just trying to think of I covered everything. As for multiple New Year's Eve parties, from time to time a group of us have thought of having a camping trip to the corner between New South Wales, South Australia and Queensland. And you do that on New Year's Eve, you could celebrate New South Wales. Then half an hour later, you start all over again for South Australia when the clock turns midnight there, and then because Queensland's not on daylight saving, another half an hour later you can do it for a third time for Queensland. So that'd be one of the biggest number of New Year's Eve parties you could have in the one night for 2XBL VK3JED.
Yeah, Roger that. Thanks for the precision, by the way. Like I said, 4 hours sleep. You're not changing from day to day. You're just changing from east to west, indeed. And it would be a little hard to do that in the middle of the ocean, most likely. So, all right, we're looking at 2200 here in the east in Montreal time. We're looking at 3:01 a.m. UTC. Yeah, I do have a bit of a discrepancy between my two clocks there, Tony, so I won't argue with you over time again. So with that, I'm going to start to wrap her up. The cows are coming home. I just have to say before I finish, I'm not really crazy about that Airbus 380. I think that thing's just way too big to fly safely. That's just me, though. I like little planes. I think little planes are safer than big planes. But it's probably just an illusion. Boeing is supposed to be putting together this this blended wing aircraft thing. I think they're calling it the 797, I believe, but I'm not sure. It's supposed to dwarf the A380, but that remains to be seen. Also, another interesting topic, the Airbus A380. We should have a show on that. I just finished watching this thing on Discovery Channel on the A380, and it's quite a fascinating story, quite a fascinating plane. Anyhow, let me pause. I guess. All right. The reason I was pausing was to find this piece of paper. Last few announcements. Don't forget, we need your input. Send us your suggestions for topics of discussion or any suggestions, comments, criticisms, how to make the show better. Send that to VOIP@southcars.com. You guys are going to force me to write myself another email and read it on the air again because I still haven't received any emails, and I'm starting to get quite sad. Nobody loves me. Nobody's sending me emails. I invite you guys to do that. Also, don't forget the podcast available at www.voip.southcars.com. And also looking for NCSs for all of the sessions, all of the nets. We're looking for NCSs on the VOIP and on the HF side, and some co-producers for this show as well, if you guys are so inclined. Also, I'd like to thank our panel,
We had a few surprises on the panel, which was pretty cool. Interesting topics. We only got through one topic each, which will leave a little bit of a list to discuss for the next open forum in January. So I'd like to thank Gordon KY6V, Mike KB8ZGL for being with us, taking him away from his very, very busy day and his legal documents. So thanks for your time, Mike. Tony VK3JED, who graciously agreed to join us at the last minute to fill in for Jack and John, who were busy at other tasks. And as well, our honorary panel members, Pete, KD4, Oscar Victor India, and Mark, N2MH. Thanks to you guys for all of your comments throughout the show. We had a grand total or maximum of 24 stations connected tonight, representing, I was going to say four continents, but no, that's not true, representing four countries, three continents, however. That's pretty respectable. I'm pretty happy with that. And let's see. Do I have anything else to tell you? No, that'll be it. So I'll let our panel do one final round before we wrap it up officially. We're a little bit past the official time, but since I started recording a few minutes late, I guess we can do that. We'll be within our 90 minutes. So Gordon, KY6V, for final comments. Come on aboard.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. And I want to thank the rest of the guys on the board and those that were in attendance this evening. I enjoyed it very much. I was waiting for that last conversation to get into Einstein and the theory of relativity and E equals MC squared, but we just didn't quite get there. Everybody have a great evening, what's left of it. Over to you, Mike, and thanks for sticking with us. Keep the legal document up there, please. KB8ZGL from KY6V.
Thanks, Gordon. Thanks, Pete. KB8ZGL, and thanks to everybody for listening. And I think, well, maybe I should send you an email, Pete. I'll send you an email. I got an idea, so I got a thought for an open forum idea. So I'll send that over to you. Tony, good to hear you as always, and have a nice day there where it's warm. And we'll try to stay on the road in our lane. Not slip sliding all over the place here in Michigan. And I'll be around for a little while with some boring reading, so if anybody wants to talk, I'll be here. 7-3s, everybody. Over to you, Tony VK3JD from KBA-ZGL in the group.
Okay, fine there, Mike. Yeah, it was good fun. Yeah, I did. I succeeded. I actually made it last week and then remembered that you guys weren't coming because of Americans their Thanksgiving sort of holding up the rest of the world. Well, I was hanging out and ready for a nap. I was in position and all, so I went and joined the Thanksgiving party on another conference, and well, I think we yacked away for about 4 hours. Yeah, it was a huge net, that one. Another thing, you know, it was a Thanksgiving impromptu Thanksgiving net that was over there, and had a ball on that one. So something happened, and Mike, we've got to work out speaking of new setups, we've got to work out the new conference setup. When that's going to happen, I've got another two to do probably sometime after this weekend as well, just waiting for the Skywarn recognition day. And then one of them will be weather dependent when there's good weather. The other one we should be able to do probably any time now that the hurricane season's over. Weekends are not good for me, Mike. Generally I'm better during the weekends. Won't be this weekend though. This weekend I've got visas. I can do text-based work, so I can log on remotely and do it, but it won't be this weekend because I've got visas and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, no worries. I've got all the codes for you. You've got all the identification. Yeah, and by the way, you can
you can just copy the reflector across. I've done it. If the IP doesn't change, that's all you got to do. If the IP is different, you got to let Dave Cameron know so that he can point the IRLP services to the new reflector box. Dave got me to do it for mine, so I know you can do it now because I've done it for mine. Just let me reset. I had to move mine due to some software issues at the site, and that necessitated a different IP and all. So, setting up in a different environment, I had to reinstall all the reflectors and stuff, and that went well. I just had to let Dave know for IRLP what the new IP was, and Robin know for the D-Star one, and it all just worked. You won't need Dave's assistance. I can move it for you. Does it just let Dave know if there's an IP change, that's all. Anyway, but other than that, all good fun. Look forward to doing it again, and I should be around a bit more for the open forum. This later time is actually currently not too bad for me. That may change. Work's going to get busy soon. I'll certainly be in a listening capacity. How much talking I do will be dependent on workload and what I'm doing, but if work gets like that, I should actually be able to sit here and listen a lot. Anyway, V2XBL, VK3JED.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks a lot, gentlemen. I appreciate that. I had a lot of fun myself. It's always fun to have a roundtable discussion. We had some people join in tonight, which is also very exciting. Hope we can build on that throughout the weeks. This is not just my open forum, although I joke about that quite a bit. Maybe you guys are taking me too seriously, but this is our open forum that belongs to all of us, and I want everyone to enjoy. So if you guys want to participate, you're more than welcome to do so, and that's how you can make that yours. You can send your comments to our voip@southcars.com email, voip@southcars.com. Any emails, you can put in the subject field, Pete, TNT Open Forum, V2XPL. It'll all come my way. So you're more than welcome to send me emails, and I certainly welcome those. You would think that I wouldn't, because I get enough of them throughout the day. You know, these days we're bombarded by emails, especially those of us who work in offices or other in techie-related fields. You get emails all day at work, get emails at night. And look at that, I'm still asking for emails, so I really can't anything but spam. No, and I saw that comment before, Tony. I don't need to be hooked up with any spam lists. They seem to find me no matter what. So, although I've been lucky lately, but knock on wood. With that, I'll say goodnight to everyone. I'll end the official portion of the TNT Open Forum for this December 3rd. Oh, by the way, last week there was no open forum. Yes, it was the American Thanksgiving, and that was my excuse to take a week off. I figured everybody would be having turkey and the like, but it's a good thing that I canceled it, because Thursday was the day that I ended up in the hospital with Sharon. I don't know if you were around earlier, Tony, when I was explaining that my lovely better half had kidney stones last week, and we spent a better part of Thursday into Friday at the hospital. So I wouldn't even have been around for the open forum. And I would have had no way to contact anyone to let them know that I wasn't there. So it would have been a pickup game there as well. So if ever you're around, Tony, and you don't hear my voice, feel free to take my place. Go right ahead, and you start that net without me, because I'm sure some people will hop in no matter what. So all in all, it turned out to be a good thing that I canceled last week. It just worked out. Worked out good that way. So I'll say goodnight, 73s to everyone. Come back next week in huge numbers. Let me pause for one sec. Next week, if all goes well, we'll have Rick. Rick ND4Z is our special guest. We'll be doing our first interview episode next week, so I'm very excited about that. Rick, who is at the head of the ship that we call South Cars, He's the South Cars manager. He runs the Trader's Net, and he's just an all-around good guy. And we'll talk to him about his various hobbies and how ham radio is involved in all those hobbies as well. So please come one, come all. 73 is anyone, anyone and everyone. This is VE2XPL. My name's Pete, and I'm in beautiful Montreal. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Good night, everyone.
Fine bird, she warbles and she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo to the fourth day of July. Diamond, Jack of Diamonds, I know you from home. Put your hand in my poor pocket, take my silver, take my gold. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, she warbles and she flies, and she never hollers to the fourth day of July. Well, I gamble in England, I gamble down in Spain, and I bet you $10 I can beat you next game. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles and she flies, and she never follows cuckoo to the fourth day. Gonna build me a log cabin on a mountain so high, so I can see my sweet honey as she goes rolling by. Oh, cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles and she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo to the fourth day of July. Sometimes I wonder what makes women love men. Sometimes I sit and wonder what makes men love them. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a fine bird, and she warbles and she flies, and she never hollers cuckoo to the fourth day of July.